Found my spot. Now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Tonight's speaker has 25 years of sobriety, and his favorite AA saying is, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. Let's give a big Valley group welcome to Lawrence C. from Tulare.
My name's Lawrence, and I'm an alcoholic. And I want to congratulate everybody that came up here and announced their sobriety this evening. That's a big deal. And the only way that can really happen is do it 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. And many of you in these rooms have done lots of that and accumulate lots of years of doing it. And you guys have helped me through sobriety by doing that. And the person in the room tonight with the least amount of time is the one that gives us the biggest gift and shows that this program still works. My alcoholism was very dangerous from the beginning. I started drinking probably at about 12 years old, and I was drinking in the back of a packing house, and we were working on a Saturday, and there was a lunch, and the coolers were down, and there was Coors Light, and I really didn't like the taste of the beer at the time, but I liked the feelings and the effect that it gave me. And it also gave me the feelings and effect at 95 pounds that I could work alongside of anybody that weighed 180 pounds, 200 pounds, or whatever. So it gave me a tremendous amount of liquid courage. And then I proceeded from that point there on a New Year's Eve party where I met a gentleman that it was a group of families and it was a group of friends and we got together and we started drinking. And it was about 11:30 probably that evening, and there was a bottle of vodka there and there was a bottle of whiskey there. And I pursued to drink the vodka and he pursued to drink the whiskey. And I pursued to get drunk that night, and I liked the feelings and the effect that it gave me because I no longer had to feel the pain and the anxieties that I was feeling as a kid and not really feeling like I really belonged. And that's the way alcohol worked for me for a long time. And I proceeded to only drink a little bit without any license, probably around 14, 15 years old. But when I got my license at 16 years old, I realized that I could drive and I could drink. And that gave me the privilege to be able to go anywhere I wanted to go on the face of earth, do whatever I wanted to do, talk to anybody wherever I wanted to talk to them at, and do exactly what I felt like doing. I had a favorite saying at a young age, it was my way or highway, and that worked for a number of years. It doesn't work so well today. We actually went to a drag strip that night, or that day, and we had two cases of beer, and it was another friend of mine that's in this program as well today. And I pursued to drink my case of beer, and he pursued to drink his case of beer. And I don't know how we got home that night, but he pursued to drive home, and we pulled off into an orchard field, and all I could do was hear the scrapes on the side of the car, and I thought, oh, man, so we just got this car, and now there's scrapes on the side of the car. But I passed out for a short period of time, and then I pursued to drive home, and it was Formosa. And I was totally as drunk as I could possibly be, and I came off the freeway on J Street there, where J Street had a left turn coming out of Tulare. And I had a highway patrol behind me, and he went around me. And I was actually going to go home because I lived on Page Avenue, but I thought, well, if this highway patrol can go around me and not stop me from drinking, I'm going to go ahead and go to the city of Tulare and go to Taco Bell and have some munchies and do my deal. And then I went ahead and took him home, and then I ended up going home that night. So I kind of earned the power to be able to drink and drive. And through my career, I never got a DUI for drinking and driving. Many times there was highway patrols and there were city cops and so forth that were staging me out, that were waiting for me to leave certain places, and for some reason I was able to escape and get out of there without any big problems or anything going on. So I was able to drink and go to high school dances, and it gave me the courage to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, and where I wanted to do it. It also gave me the strength to be able to go in business for myself and to be an entrepreneur and learn the trade in the secrets of how to be, you know, somewhat dishonesty, but honest enough to be able to live through the motions. And I did that for a number of years and got married in 1983 for the first time. And when I got married in 1983, I thought it was okay to sit in the bars and drink at lunchtime and in the evening until it got dark and then proceeded to go home. Although she went along with it for a few years and it was okay, and it worked for quite a while for me, and then I had two beautiful children with her, and I felt the marriage was a great marriage. I was a great provider, and I went to church on a regular basis, and we went to you know, breakfast on Sundays, and it worked out great, I thought. In 91, I went through a divorce, and in 91, when I went through a divorce, it was due to my alcoholism, and I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop, but I did everything I possibly could do to stop. And in that amount of time I created, that was about 7 years, or 8 years, in that amount of time I created a ton of wreckage. I created a lot of wreckage in business, I created a lot of wreckage in a marriage, I created a lot of wreckage among my kids and in families. And I was living in a 2,600 square foot house. I had race cars, I had snowmobiles, I had jet skis, I had boat, and everything was pretty good, I thought. But what wasn't very good was the inside of me. I didn't want to live with who I was. I wanted to commit suicide. I didn't want any part of who I was. I wanted my kids and I wanted my wife back. And I was willing to go to any lengths to do whatever I needed to do to get them back. Until I realized that it was not something that was going to happen. And I realized that I was going to go through divorce. And I also had to ask myself if I was going to drink again. And at that time, I was living in a hotel, and I related a lot of this back to it. I related a lot of this back to Catholic Church. I related a lot of this back to Lent, which we're going through, which we're in right now. I related a lot of it back to 40 days. I lived 40 days in a hotel before I finally picked up the phone and called somebody, and I was reading a Bible, and I knew nothing about alcoholism. And I called a gentleman that's in the room tonight, and I asked him, I said, what's it going to take to stay sober? He couldn't really tell me, but I told him I wanted to go. My ego was so big when I came into these rooms, I wanted to go where every doctor, every attorney, every judge, every nurse, every high identified person in the community went with a problem like I had. And at that time, he sent me to the Lano Club. But you guys all know what the Lano Club's about, right? I mean, you think New Visions is bad, or you think, you know, PAR's bad, or you think these recovery houses are crazy or whatever. They're mild to what I walked into from the status that I had when I walked into the Lano Club. And at that time, I realized I possibly had a problem with alcohol. So I think I went to a few meetings at that time, and I got together with a few friends that I knew in the program at that time, and I kind of came to the conclusion that I was an alcoholic. And I was living in an apartment, coming out of a 2,600 square foot house with all the toys you could possibly imagine, driving a 535i BMW, and my stuff was not bad. And my head was tormented, and I had no idea or did not know how to live. Walked back into my apartment that evening, and I hit my knees. And I asked God to remove the obsession of alcohol from me. At that point, God removed the obsession of alcohol from me, and I felt the weight come off my shoulders. And for you being new in these rooms tonight, as a lot of you came up here tonight and wondered how you're going to stay sober 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time, that's how you stay sober. And you have to go through the motions, and you have to stay in the action. This program has 12 steps. It has meetings. It has sponsors. The key thing is to make sure you have a solid foundation with your sponsor, and that you're going to your 90 meetings in 90 days, which I put a lot of time into meetings early in my sobriety. And I look at meetings that I went to early in sobriety as an insurance policy. And I bought into an insurance policy. An insurance policy I bought into was to stay sober. And the only thing that I can honestly say that I've done in the past 25 years is not pick up a drink. An awful lot of things I've done that have not been right, I'm not proud of, but they still happen. And there's a steps that we refer to in this program, and the steps are pretty simple, but they look like they're pretty hard when you're new in this program. And you're saying, how do I do these steps? How do I get through this? You get through it 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time. And as I said, I got on my knees, turned my life and my will over to God. And then I asked God to return me back to sanity and remove the insanity, the things that were going through my mind at that time. And it's not to say that insane things don't go through my mind today. At 25 years, insane things can still go through my mind. I still live on the edge. I don't live a conservative, and I don't live a mild sobriety life where I go to meetings, I go to coffee, and I go to and that's my life. I live by far to the extent and to the edge of sobriety. Now, what I was able to do when I turned my life and my will over to God, returned to sanity, and found a conscious contact with God, was to realize that I needed to do step four. And I know there's many of you in these rooms tonight saying, how in the hell do you do step four? And you do step four 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time. And step four, you sit down with that piece of paper and that pencil and you start writing. And you start writing. And you start writing. And it'll just start flowing through your body. And the motions will keep happening. And the things will keep being done for you. And you'll really, and you'll feel the pressure and the stress and the motions come off of your shoulders and off of your body, and you'll start to feel relaxed. And then those things will come back again, and you have to get that pencil and that pen out again, that pencil and that piece of paper out again, and start writing. Because when you write, all this stuff starts surfacing. And you do this for a period of time and a period of days. And then you find a spiritual person that you honestly trust. And in that spiritual person that you honestly trust, you do that fourth step with. And a lot of you don't want to do it with your friends, and you don't want to really do it with your sponsor, and you're sick and tired and saying, I don't trust this person, and I don't trust that person. Go find somebody you honestly trust. And it could be somebody with one leg in the ground, and maybe a couple days of life left. Give it to that person, as long as it's a breathing body. And as long as you start doing those kinds of things, you have that opportunity to stay sober 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time, just like many of the people in these rooms have done. And then you go into the 6 and 7. And we all look at 6 and 7 step as being simple, easy, not too bad. Let me tell you, 6 and 7 are two steps that I struggle with every day. Shortcomings and character defects. They don't go away. You can ask God to tame them down. You can ask God to get in touch with how you're dealing within your life today. You can ask God at once to remove them, and He will, but they will return. I was told by a guy early in sobriety, you will take these character defects to the grave with you. All you can do is ask God for the help 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time, and He will provide and He will help you get through the motions of this. The shortcomings and character defects are what we live with today. Those are the things that we have to ask God to continue, ask God each morning as I get on my knees. And I pray to God every morning. I read 3 books. One of the books I've read since the time I've gotten sober. It's a black book. It's put out by Hazleton, and it's a 24-day book. If you don't have it, I'll buy it for you if you want it. If you're willing to use it, you will stay sober 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time. It talks about in the book a prayer, a meditation, and it talks about how to find that conscious contact with God. I went through a period of time of my sobriety up until about 5.5 years ago, where I was still only doing half measures. I found out I still had a problem with gambling, and I enjoyed gambling on an emotional basis. And gambling was allowing me to stuff my feelings and do what I wanted to do and still live like a big shot. And go places where I wanted to go, enjoy life, and do what I wanted to do. But I found a blue book on Gambling Anonymous that have helped me get through that. And I read that every morning as well. Now, another thing I found out about this program is the longer you're sober, the more addictions surface. And I'm not going to go into a lot of the addictions tonight, but if anybody's struggling with an addiction, you talk to me after the meeting, I'll be more than happy to help you and walk you through any addiction that you're possibly going through. All you have to do is remove the word alcohol and add that particular addiction into it and do the steps with that particular addiction, and you have an opportunity to work through it and find the serenity and the happiness that God has provided for all of us. So we go into number 8, and we needed to write down the people that we've harmed. None of us in these rooms wants to make any amends. Our egos are way too big. My ego was so big that I couldn't even go to a treatment center. They said, maybe you should go get help at a treatment center. I can't go to a treatment center. I got work to do. I got these things to do. I got that to do. So I did outpatient. And I did outpatient and paid dearly for it. But the guy still has an extremely nice lifestyle, and I can't fault him for that. But I needed his help at the time, and I gave it to him. Then I went through and made a personal searching moral inventory of all the people that I've hurt, and all the people that I might have owed money to, and all the people that I was not responsible to or accountable to. So I had to make all those amends. Those are not fun. But you don't skip from number 3 and go to number 9. Try to make amends, and hopefully there's a great outcome that happens, because there's not a great outcome that happens. It normally gets pretty nasty and pretty bad when you try to do that. So do these steps in order. And allow God to work through you 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time, because He will. Now today, I practice 10, 11, 12 on a regular basis. I take my personal inventory on a daily basis. I pray to God in the morning and throughout the day, and ask Him for the guidance, wisdom, and knowledge. And there's still things that come along that are extremely difficult. They're extremely difficult. So I say a serenity prayer. Regardless of what's difficulty that's in front of me at that time, if I say a serenity prayer, I can walk through it, and I can get through it, and I can move through it. And I can normally get to the other side of it and be okay with it. I also find somebody that's struggling in this program, or somebody that's struggling in the world that's still practicing alcohol, because it helps me to stay sober 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. And those are the way. That's the way I've done the steps in this program, and that's how I practice staying sober 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. God has given me the opportunity to live life to the fullest. I've gone through, in sobriety, I can honestly say that I've gone through marriages. I've gone through situations where I've helped raise 4 boys, and I'm very proud of. I've also have 2 beautiful daughters, and 1 daughter today has 3 kids. I have 2 grandsons and 1 granddaughter that I love very much. I have both daughters married to great men. I have an opportunity to realize and how blessed I've been with my children. And I know that it's all what the emotions that I've showed and what God's done for me. I also have showed my kids the blessings of the Catholic Church and my beliefs in the Catholic Church, and I also showed my kids that we enjoyed going to church together, and we enjoyed going to breakfast together, and we enjoyed the better things of life. We have high standards as a family. We have extremely high principles, but we put ourselves at the test every day, because that's the way we were brought up. That's our traditions. That's our belief. I'm also very honored and very faithful to realize that this is a program that God gives you the opportunity to be self motivated and also self-supporting through your own contributions. And it's very important that we're self-supporting through our own contribution. We have a government today that hands out money like free will. And I'm not going to go into politics, but I can honestly say that when you work for something and you've earned something and you can realize that you've done it through self-supporting, there's an honor and there's a tremendous amount of wisdom that you feel from it. I've also remarried a second time. The beautiful woman had, like I say, had 4 boys, and that marriage went south. Sometimes I'm sad that marriage went south, but it did. There was a very serious accident 5 years ago, and 5 years ago would be the end of April, 1st of May of this year. I was laying in the middle of the freeway. in Needles, California. And I flipped a Can-Am Spider at 80 miles an hour. I really shouldn't be up here talking to you today, but in the grace of God, the blessings of God, and realize that my work wasn't done here on the face of earth, He asked me to come back and stay strong, and He will help me get through it. Now, my faith got real tested at that time, and it got to the point to where trusting in God got very difficult. And if it wasn't for the people in these rooms reaching out to me, because I spent 9 days in the hospital in Las Vegas in intensive care. I came home and I spent another 73 days in the hospital. And I had the support of this program. And the support of this program is overwhelming. There is nothing like the relationships you build in these rooms. The relationships you build in these rooms are honest, wholesome, respectful, kind, caring, unconditionally love. They're there for you. And they were there for me. And they helped me get through it. I laid in the hospital here in Visalia, California, and didn't know how I was going to get through it. I had nights that it were sleepless nights. I had I had a girlfriend at the time that was a lot of help to me. I mean, I still today say that it was blessings of God that allowed her to come into my life to help me get through what I went through at that particular time. In that particular year, I spent 105 days in the hospital out of 364 days of the year. That's a long time. I didn't know if I was going to live. I didn't know how I was going to adapt, and I didn't know how I was going to come to again. But I was able to come to again through 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time, and the blessings of God and the blessings of you people in these rooms. So any of you suffering alcoholics think it's tough today, give this program a chance. Live this thing 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time, and you can make it, and you can live through it. Let go of the pride, let go of the ego, get humble, and be teachable. Those are just broad suggestions that I can give you tonight. Other things that I've done in this program since I've been sober is, and that I did, you know, one of the things I can honestly say that I did when I was drinking is tail end of my drinking career, I did geographical changes. I decided that I wasn't going to drink in Tulare, that I was going to go to Ponderosa, California, and I was going to ride snowmobiles, and I was going to drink, and I was going to come down that mountain, and that was okay. Now, that's real insane. God really had to return me back to sanity. I've been blessed with things in this program, such as riding bicycles along the coast, eating fine meals, going places that I would have never dreamed of before. I've driven from, I've taken a truck, a boat, and left here and gone to Key West and ran a poker tournament. I've done Lake Havasu in an offshore cat at 146 miles an hour. I've been blessed with a lot of neat things in life. And I would have never been blessed with these neat things in life if it wasn't for what God's done for me. I can honestly say there's a lot of things that come into my life on a daily basis. My life by no means has been perfect for 25 years. I've lived through depression. I've lived through insane asylums. I've lived through times that I didn't want to live with myself. I felt that way just approximately a year ago. I was struggling with that. And I had to go back and I had to take a personal inventory and realize, you know, I got into self too much. I was being selfish. I wasn't working with others. And I wasn't doing the things that I was taught through the steps of this program. And those things can all return back in sobriety. I was sitting in a meeting in Lake Tahoe, California. A guy talked about this. He was, I think it's 15 or 16 years sober. And he talked about suicidal. And I did not come to on that at all at that time. But I realized that in my sobriety, years of sobriety, because I took on the other addictions such as smoking, gambling, the higher power of money, I returned to the insanity part of life again, and I wanted to commit suicide, and I didn't want to live, and I didn't want to drink. So I I talked about it, and I got a little bit of help, but I ended up going to a place, and I ended up getting what I needed at that time. So I can honestly say that you don't have to do any of these things in sobriety if you do the next indicated thing. And there's some great examples in these rooms. They go to meetings regularly, they work the steps regularly, and they have a great sponsor. I defer away from those things sometimes, and those are the prices that I pay. My life is not perfect. But I also know if I don't drink, I got a higher power, and I got a God that's much stronger and much greater than I am, and by no means can you have to do this program perfect. This program allows you to defer, but it also allows you to pay the price when you do defer. And I'm an example of that, and I can discuss that with any one of you in these rooms because I've lived it, I've been through it, and I know the hardships that you go through just to stay sober 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. All those character defects, all those shortcomings that I talked about earlier, they all return when you don't do the next indicated thing in this program. You don't do it correctly. This program avails you nothing when you do it half measures. And I can honestly say, you could stay sober doing those kinds of things, but you don't reap the benefits, and you don't reap the promises, and you don't enjoy life to the fullest. And I could honestly enjoy life to the fullest today because I've surrendered all my character defects, and I've surrendered shortcomings, and I've also surrendered all my addictions. And I think the longer you stay sober, the more you realize where your addictions are at. Because for me, I only thought I was addicted to alcohol. I thought I could still go to strip clubs and walk outside when the sun comes up at 6 o'clock in the morning and everything's great and wonderful. You know, these are just examples of how insane an alcoholic can still become. You know, I could gamble till 4 o'clock in the morning and everything was okay. You know, I can go out and eat at a buffet and eat until I can't eat no more. I can smoke cigars 12 hours a day. I mean, I can do all these kinds of things. But I realized I was only getting half measures out of this program. So I had to surrender. And today, God gives me the strength to live 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. He's opened many doors for me. And it's amazing. When the miracles happen, thank Him for the small miracles, and the larger miracles will happen. And I can tell you about one that I was dealing with over in Lake Havasu. I have two boats, and one of them is a 28-foot boat, and one's a 29-foot boat, and I was looking for a storage unit. And I says, man, I need a storage unit, and I need a storage unit at the Islander. Okay, well, I waited about an hour and a half, and I got this phone call. And they says, we now have room for you to put both boats in your stall. So I says, that's great. So I right then and there, I knew that was a blessing, and that was the power of God to be able to allow me to do that, so I don't have to drive 30 minutes one way for one and 30 minutes the other way for one. So it's the small things in life that God does for me that I can't do for myself. He's also helped me with business on a regular basis. He opens many doors for me and gives me many opportunities to be the best person that I possibly can be. I have a group of friends that come over to the house to watch ball games. You know, we have an enjoyable time together. We can do dinner together. We can associate with each other, and we can talk about honest things. We don't have to talk about elevator talk, and that's a big deal. Because when I was drinking, we did a lot of elevator talk. And I don't like elevator talk today, and I've even walked into some areas today to where it's some business deals and whatever, and they're doing elevator talk, and I either end up changing the view that I'm in, or I end up going to the room and going to bed for the night, because I'm not going to sit there and listen to somebody talk about what he thinks he should be, or how he should be, or what he should be doing instead of what he is doing. And we talk from the heart when we're sober, and we eliminate the BS that a lot of us have seen over the number of years. God gives us the strength to do what we can do at any given time as long as we turn our life and our will over to God. He has so much power, and I know that if you're new in this program, you're saying, how do you say God has that much power? I can honestly say God has that much power for what He's done for me for the past 25 years. I've lived through a bankruptcy. I've lived through two divorces. I've lived through a serious motorcycle Chicago accident, and I've made a lot of great friends in these rooms. And I love my life today. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions on how you stay sober? Well, we'll talk about that outside, Courtney, so, you know. We'll make sure you get lined up properly. Does anybody have any questions on how they get the better part of life out of the sobriety that they're living today? Well, I couldn't have answered all the questions in 35 minutes. Do what? Do I still what? I have my, yes, I do, I don't go as often as I need to go to meetings, okay? And you know what? It's very important that a long-time sobriety person goes to meetings. And I will explain that. Our job today is to bring a message to the suffering alcoholic on how this program works, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. And there's quite a few of us that don't go to as many meetings as we ought to go to, and there's really no excuse for it. We can make all the excuses in the world, but there is no excuse for it. Because we've been given the gift, and we need to be able to give the gift away to keep it.
Going back over there.
In the corner. Say that again, please. Yes, the feelings that you have when you surrender the disease to the disease of alcoholism is I felt very hopeless and I felt very helpless until I was able to find that conscience contact with God. And that conscience contact for God is easier for others to find than it is for some. And mine was fairly easy because I had the belief of the Catholic Church and I had the belief of what God could do for me that I could not do for myself. This is a spiritual driven program. And lots of times if you don't have the faith in God, you know, find a picture on the wall, find something that has a higher power to where you can relate to and relate to somebody that has more time in sobriety than you do and not to the lower companion. A lot of times what happens is when you become first sober, you relate to the lower companion because you feel a little bit better than that lower companion. And it's always great to relate to try to find somebody that has a little bit more sobriety. And that's why we talk about this in the program a lot. One of the things is find a sponsor that's got more than a year on you. Find a sponsor that's got 7, 8, 9 years, something that he can honestly share with you that he's gone through in this program, that he can share his experience, strength, and hope. And that used to be a big deal in this program. We don't see a lot of that today. And I still encourage that a guy or a lady to find something that has more time than you have so you can reap the benefits of the spirituality part of this program. Yeah, he asked if I had a ninth step experience that I didn't feel was as worthy as it should be. You're always going to run into those type of people that are going to be very caring and very loving and grateful that you found this program. But then you're also going to run into those kind of people that have a blah character and a blah personality, and they'll accept it to the point to where you don't feel like they really accepted it, and it feels like a struggle. But again, that's when we turn back to the power that's greater than ourselves and turn it over to God and make the next step into the ninth step. Because that's where you find your serenity and your peace and your freedom from. You're asking a guy that still carries a lot of ego. Ego's not easy, but you know, ego was for me has been tougher than probably for most, because I had a Corvette when I was in high school. I had a big house before I was 30, and I always had the better things in life, but I always worked harder for them and always felt that I deserved them and they should be my way. But I can honestly tell you that when you let the ego down and you get it out of the way, you become teachable. You're not teachable when the ego's in front of somebody that you're trying to listen to somebody. So let the ego go. Turn it over to God. Walk as humbly as possible, but be proud of what you're doing today. Again, you're getting me with shortcomings, and shortcomings is one thing I say you take to the grave with, and your character defects. I think you really have to realize, I think you have to have that conscious contact with God, and you can't allow the material things and the toys and those sorts of things to manage your life or to ruin your life. And I've been guilty of that, and that's why I can speak from that particular place. No, these guys in here, there's a table back there that kept me honest. So, no, I had to stay sober 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time for 25 years. Yeah. But if you're new in this program, don't look too far ahead. That's the secret. Only live within the 24 hours that you're living within. And the book talks about it, our meditations talk about it, and the guidance of this program talks about it. When we look too far ahead, we look too far behind, we tend to beat ourselves up, and we think the only way out is through an insane asylum, or the only way out is through a drink, and that's not the only way out. I've been through IRS audits, I've been through judgments, I've been through divorces, like I stated, I've been through bankruptcies, I've been through a motorcycle accident. There hasn't been anything that I have not been through without a drink, by picking up a drink. I've gotten through everything I've gotten through without picking up a drink. And I've gotten through it by the conscious contact of God. And that's the only way I suggest anybody to get through it. Now, if somebody's struggling with finding their power with God, you can talk to me after the meeting. You can talk to me anytime. I can try to give you the direction on how to get through that. But one of the ways that I do it is by getting on my knees every morning and surrendering my life to God, and also getting him on my knees in the evening and thanking him for another day of sobriety. And that goes back to answering your question again in regards to ego. By getting on your knees, it helps you get rid of the ego as well.
Let's give a big hand to Lawrence.